6 tonight. Mark chapter number 6. We're going to continue our thought from this morning and try to get a little further into it if the Lord help us. And I want to draw our thought again from verse number 5, but we'll read the first 6 verses in Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, and this is of course speaking about Jesus, the Bible said he went out from thence and came into his own country. His disciples follow him, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there, notice this, do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. I want to draw our thought again tonight from verse number 5. If we could. And I want us to look at that one more time. Verse number 5, the Bible said this, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So if the Lord will help us tonight, we want to go back and we're going to try to preach tonight, if God being our helper, on this thought from verse 5, when the one who can, can't. When the one who can, how many of y'all know if anybody can, he can. Right. But here we find when Jesus is before his own country and in his own place among his own people, the very one who can, all of a sudden, can't. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning or this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to share, Lord, an opportunity to gather together in your name and in your midst with your people one more time. Now, God, tonight I pray, Lord, that you'd have your perfect will and, God, that you'd have your perfect way. God, we need a touch tonight. And so, Lord, if you'd come by one more time, give us great unction and power, Lord, to preach the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd do that. I pray, God, you give me the words to say. Lord, give me the thoughts to think. God, give me the mind and the motive to be able to declare what thus saith the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you change somebody's heart and their life forever. Well, thank you now for all that you say and all that you do. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. When the one who can, can't. Now, we're not going to re-preach everything by way of introduction this morning, but we are going to say a few things that we've already said. And first of all, we have seen that the problem is not with God. Can I get a little help tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And the issue is not with God. Here's why. Because in Mark's gospel, in chapter number 5, just one chapter before Mark chapter 6, we find three mighty works that the Lord Jesus has done. First of all, we said that Jesus has walked into this place called of the Gadarenes, and it was there that we find that Jesus cast out devils. That is a mighty work. No man could bind him. No man could tame him. No man could keep him in prison. He'd break every chain and every fetter that they put on him. But when Jesus showed up, you know what that maniac of Gadara found out? What man could not do, Jesus can. Also in Mark chapter number 5, we find a rich young ruler by the name of Jairus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. And we find that he comes to Christ and his 12-year-old daughter is sick to the point of death. And the Bible said as he's there, and Jairus is speaking to him, that one of his servants come and say, you might as well leave him alone because she's dead. But the Bible said Jesus made his way down to this ruler's house, and he walks up to the bedside of this 12-year-old little girl, and resurrects her from the dead. So not only has Jesus had the power to cast out devils, but now we find it just in one chapter ago, he has the power to conquer death. In that same chapter, Mark chapter number 5, we find tonight that the Bible said there's a woman with an issue of blood. And the Bible said that this woman with the issue of blood, my friend, she spent all she had. She's tried every doctor. She's tried all the physicians. She's done everything, my friend, that somebody could do in order to find a cure for this disease. But what do we know? The Bible said she tried everything and everybody, but nothing seemed to pan out. Is that right? The Bible said she spent all and was still in the shape, same shape after she had spent all that she was before she ever tried to get a cure. And for 12 years, men had failed her. Nobody could. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, what she finds out and all those in her life, what they find out is what no man could do, Jesus can. And it's amazing to me that just one chapter later, after Jesus has cast out devils and Jesus has conquered death and Jesus has cured an incurable disease, the Bible said in verse number 5, when he goes home to the place called Nazareth, the Bible said in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work. It's not that Jesus has lost any power. I need a little help tonight. Crowds down, people sick, but he's still alive. So I need you to act like he's alive tonight. Amen. Jesus has not changed. We said this morning, he's still just as personal in chapter 6 as he is chapter 5. He's still as powerful in chapter 6 as he is chapter 5. He is still as pivotal in chapter 6 as he is chapter 5. How many of y'all know that our God can turn things around? I mean, I'm looking at a bunch of y'all. Had life continued the way that it looked like it was going to go for you, you'd be in trouble. But thank God he can turn things around. He is a very pivotal. He is a very pivotal God. He can make the tide change. He's just as pivotal in chapter 6 as he is in chapter 5. The problem is not with him. The problem is with them. You need to make sure you hold on to that. The problem is never with him, but we find in this text the problem is with them. Can I say this tonight? It was not the works of him that had changed. It was the willingness of hearts that had changed. May I say the mighty works of God are available to those who want help. You know the difference in the maniac of Gadara and Jairus and this woman with the issue of blood and these Nazarenes? You know the difference? They were looking for God to do something. And when Jesus shows up in Nazareth, he is limited. He's hindered. He is not able to be that can God because they were not willing to allow him to do mighty works in their life. Isn't it amazing how God puts the ball in our court? You'd be surprised what levels you could go to. I'm telling you, now listen to me, I ain't a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you the truth. You'd be amazed the levels God would take you if you just let him in. Do you know going to church ain't enough? It ain't letting him in. Lost people go to, I mean, the Catholics are as lost as a golf ball in high weeds. They're depending on Mary and the Pope. My friend, if they're faithful to go to Mass, that ain't gonna open up the windows of heaven in your life. My friend, it ain't just going to church. It ain't being a good person. It's living a sold out, sacrificed, submitted life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not willing to open the door, if you're not willing to let him in, if you're not willing to let him be, listen to me, he really wants to be Lord of your life. He don't want you to do what you want to do and fit him into your schedule. I mean, y'all going to have to really help. Some of you ladies are going to have to get in there and help me, amen, tonight. He don't want us to work him in. He wants us to work everything around him. If you're saved, he ought to be the focus. He ought to be number one. He ought to be first priority. And when he's not, you are limiting God from working and doing mighty works in your life. We talk about this morning how God wants to. He would have done mighty works. He should have done mighty works, but he could not do mighty works. I wonder how many people here tonight, and you're living in a season of life you don't even have to live in because you won't really get it in and get give it all and get in. and give what you have to the Lord. I wonder how many people's robbing themselves. I mean, I really believe, we started talking about Brother Jonathan Hughes before service tonight, I really believe there are people, they have looked at this area of sacrifice and giving. We talk about giving. They've looked at this as, well, you know, I've got to figure this thing out. I've got to save my money. I've got to make my money. I've got to do this. I've got to do that with my time, with my treasure, all because it's a bit for my way of living. But did you know God don't bless you for you to have a better way of living? God gives you more so you'll have a better way of giving. Look at his life. I mean, I ain't just preaching something that's off the top of my head. Watch our Savior. All he does is give. And that's what he wants to do in Mark chapter 6. He wants to give himself again to a bunch of people and do great and mighty works in their life. But he cannot do those great works because they will not allow him to. My friend, the Bible says this in John 14:12. I want you to think about this. The Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now notice this, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You know what Jesus said? Take a look at my life. The work that God has for you is even greater than the work Jesus had and did in his life. Now, we can't wrap our mind around that, I know. But here's what that means. Listen, we're on this side of Calvary, and we've got a greater opportunity to do something for God than even he had in his earthly ministry. God wants to do greater works for you than you could ever imagine. If you follow me on social media, I made a post for church. And I said this. I said, if our church really knew the vision that God's given me, they'd think that's crazy. Maybe not everybody, but the majority of you sitting here tonight, if you could really see in my heart what I'm believing God for, you would think I've lost my mind. But here's what I know. Can God? Yes. Y'all ain't black again tonight. Can God?
God can.
Oh, yes, he can. I'm believing God. I got me a little chair and I'm sitting back here behind the building just examining the property around here and looking. I'm telling you, I see another church building. I see it. I see Sunday school rooms where y'all got room to turn around and there's not black mold on the wall and the children don't have to walk through. I'm telling what to get there. I see that. I see offices. I see bathrooms with more than one toilet in them. Come on, somebody. And the problem is this. I can't be the only one if we do not see the great work that God wants for this place. We may limit him from granting those works in our lives and in this church. I see things that nobody else can see. I see a parking lot where we don't have to cram everybody in, but there's plenty of spots. I see that. I see a building. I see souls. I pray over property that's not even ours, asking God to save souls on it. Because I see it. Man. I beg God for souls in a field that don't even belong to us. Because I see it. Y'all with me?
Yeah, man.
I walk through these seats and I know you're saying, preacher, we didn't even feel that. Oh, I know. But I can still see it. Do you know God has never saved, called, or put nobody in the ministry, in the Christian life, for you to be okay with the mediocre and the minimum?
Right.
Why can't you believe God for great things? Why can't we believe God for that one that needs saved? Why don't you believe God for that? Why can't you believe God to send you a good godly wife or a good godly husband and you ain't got to settle for second best? Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm talking. I'm preaching to somebody. There's people in here right now. You ain't got a good husband. You ain't got a good wife. But God can give you one. And God will. And he's got it worked out. You just can't see it. But you need to. I see dorms on the property. I see places for children to come. Hey, ma'am. I see when I see London, Kentucky, I don't think of the chicken festival. I see when people read about London, Kentucky, or they hear about London, Kentucky, their mind don't go to the World Chicken Festival, or Corbin don't go to KFC. But as soon as they hear Corbin London, the first thing that pops in their mind is Stillwater Baptist Church. I'm not content with mediocre. I'm not content with the minimum. I'm not settling for less. I'm telling you, God saved people, and God's going to do it. You bring this sermon up in 30 years and see if God did not do the work. I'm telling you, I believe God in these last days. He didn't call this place and birth this place for the minimum.
That's right.
I never understood preachers get up and say things like this. Well, if all I ever get, and I've said things, but listen, if all I ever got's 30, I'm all right with that. That ain't what I say. If all God ever gives me is 30, I'm going to give that 30 my best. But here's what I know, and I got King James Bible. The Bible said to go out to the highways and the hedges and compel him to come in that his house may be full. Did you know this is not the will of God for us? I'm not settling for that. And if you think this is okay and this is how it's supposed to, I know we got a good church, but we ought to have a better church. I know we got a good choir. We ought to have a better choir. I know we had a good meeting. We ought to have a better meeting. You say, oh, that don't sound like you're content. It's because I'm not. I'm thankful for all God's done. But I see what more he wants to do. And until some of y'all get on the same page, my friend, we're going to live in verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. I'm telling you, the only reason that maniac of Gadara got freed from 2,000 devils is because he believed God. And the only reason Jairus' daughter got up is because he believed God. And the only reason that woman with the issue of blood got healed of her disease is because she believed God. Sign me up, honey. I believe the God of the Bible that'll do things he's never done, that'll move in ways we've never seen, that'll speak in a voice like we've never heard. God can tonight. God can. I don't know what God you got your faith in, but when I look at my God, I know he is more than able. He is exceedingly and abundantly. He can do exceeding and abundant above all that we can ask. Right here scares me a little. Or think. If y'all could see in my mind, you'd think I was a lunatic. My own parents would think I was a lunatic. I'll never forget when my mama asked me, she said, son, I'm not trying to, you know, throw water on the fire, but what are you doing? She couldn't see it. But I did.
Yeah.
And I still do. And here's what I know. It ain't going to take 500 to get the vision.
No.
Are you with me?
Amen.
God gets him a good faithful core that really believes God. You stand back. The rest of y'all can stand back and watch the fire burn. Because God can do it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not settling for a handful. It's God's will to have a full place, full house. I'm not selling for 4 or 5 souls a year. We ought to see 4 or 5 souls a week.
Yeah.
Talk to Brother Jonathan Hughes. We just talked back and forth a lot this week. And he told me, he said, preacher, he said, I served one time in the church. He said, I walked in. He said, as soon as I walked in, it was through like a weekday or something, or maybe before church. He said, I walked in. He said, I done knew I had walked into a Holy Ghost moment. He said, the preacher was down in the baptistry, crying out, begging God to stir the waters and send them souls. He said, I walked in and I heard that. And he said, oh God, God, give us souls so we can baptize. God, give us souls so we can stir these waters. Oh God, send us lost sinners. That can be. He said, I done knew I'd walked in on something. He said, I tried to ease out. And said, about that time, the preacher had been praying while I got dying. He said, oh, Brother Jonathan, I need you to do something. He said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to go back and every fourth Sunday of the month, the last Sunday of the month, I want you to write down on the church calendar every fourth Sunday, baptismal service. He said, okay, preacher. He said, what do you mean? I don't understand. He said, what if somebody don't get saved every month? He said, I've done been with God. He said, I've done been praying. I'm believing God for souls every month. He said, by the time that year was over, this is true. Brother Jonathan said this. He said, by the time that year was over, they baptized 96 sinners. And he said, on that last Sunday of the year, a preacher walked by and just started shouting and saying, hey, I told you God was able. When's the last time you really believed God was able to meet your need? When's the last time you got sick of mediocre? When's the last time you got tired of minimal? When's the last time you had a vision? I'm telling you, God's able. God will do it. God's able. Can God? God can. I believe my God for great things tonight. I believe God for great things. I believe him. You're talking about real faith. Mark the fourth Sunday off. Every Sunday night we're going to have a baptismal service. And hadn't seen one soul saved yet. But that preacher believed God. I know the crowd is more than half gone. But what if just everybody in this room tonight drunk a big old cup of faith? I'm not talking about asking God and hoping. I'm talking about asking God and knowing that He's interested. I'm talking about when God comes by and you, hey, when you're in your secret place, you ask God. Let me tell y'all something. We ought to believe God. He ain't got a reputation of failing us. He ain't got a reputation of only being able to do a small work. We're talking about the man in John 6 that fed 5,000 out with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We're talking about the same God who make a lame man of 38 years walk. We're talking about the same one. That my friend that made the blind eyes see and the deaf ears hear and the dumb tongue talk. I'm telling you, He ain't changed a bit. But somehow or another, in these last few moments of the race, it's like God. When people believe God's in retirement, but He's still on His throne and He's going to do a great and a mighty work for those who believe Him for it. I believe God for it. I ain't asking God and hoping, I'm asking God believing. I've done thanked Him. I told Him today. I said, Lord, I don't know when or how, but I thank You for doing it.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, yes, because I believe Him. And I'm telling you, if I could see in my mind, it'd freak you out. I see dormitories with hundreds of little boys and little girls every month or every summer coming through. We're going to have our own camp here one day.
Yeah.
We're going to have the property to do it. Somebody write this down and sign my name by it. I'm believing God, Deacon.
Yeah. Man.
We're going to have our own Bible camp. We're going to take them nowhere. We're going to have our own. We're going to have our own meet where we don't even know where we're going to put people. Mike Norman says we're going to have an 800 seat auditorium. That seems a little out of my jurisdiction, but God can.
Yeah.
I'm believing God for souls. I'm believing God for some of you who's been saved to get in. I mean, really get in, man. You're missing out on the victorious Christian life. I believe in God to rescue of the parish. And I'm believing God to bring our prodigals home. Some of y'all's got prodigals. I got one of my family. God, I'm believing God. She's coming home. I'm believing God for that. I'm believing God in other ways for my family. People need God's touch and they need His help. I'm believing God for it. I'm believing God's going to save my babies. I'm believing God's going to use my babies. I'm believing God is going to give them a good husband and a good wife. I'm telling you, I'm believing God for y'all, that y'all ain't even believing God for yourself. Hey, hallelujah. He's worth counting on tonight. He's worth putting your faith in. He's worth trusting. I'm telling you, God can tonight. God can. I ain't serving no minimum God. I'm serving a great and a mighty God, and all He does is mighty works. And I ain't going to hang around with a bunch that don't believe Him. Amen. I'm telling you my prayer, God, if they won't get in the boat, tell them to find another and send me a bunch of people that's stupid enough and crazy enough to fall in love with You. Amen. And just believe that He is able because He is. And I don't mean that bad. You ain't got to be stupid to believe God, but it is foolishness to this world. Can I get a little help? It is foolishness to your coworkers, your family, and your friends, but I'll be a fool for His sake. I've got faith for some of you. Ain't even got faith for yourself, but I know God can tonight. God can. God can do it. I'm telling you, it'd be safe. I believe it'd be safe to say that anyone who may be in ministry or serving the Lord does not desire for God to do anything but mighty works. When God called me to preach, I mean, it's always been in my desire to see souls and souls and souls. I think God gives you that desire. Can I say no Christian should ever be content with just sitting on a church pew and not seeing their lost friends and their lost family come to know Christ? And no Christian should ever be content with sitting stagnant on a church pew and never growing or maturing or having the fervency in their life to serve God. And no pastor should ever be content with just a handful of people with no power and no professions. And no evangelist should ever be content with an empty schedule, an empty sermon book, and no souls being saved. No ministry.
missionaries should never be content with their field of ministry that God's called them to, being put on hold, hindered, or falling through altogether. They should desire to see God do what only God can do.
Right. Amen.
People that don't have a vision, you know what the Bible says? If you ain't wanting no more than what you got, you ain't going to never have no more than what you got.
Right.
And that's sad. I mean, I think we should all just be honest and agree. There's no way we can look at our lives as individuals. There's no way I can look at my ministry. Now, Brother Seth, God's blessed me. Doors open. I get to preach a lot and I see a lot of people saved. But I want more. And listen to me, don't misunderstand. This is not a matter of pride. This is not a matter of ego. This is not to say I'm the greatest preacher and I've seen X amount of souls saved. Oh no, that's not my heart's desire. And God knows it. It's not a pride thing. It's a passion. It's a fire that's deep down in my bones that I can't shut up. I want more. I want more of God. I want God to have more of me. I want to be used in ways I've never been used. I want to preach in power like I've never preached. I want to pray prayers like I've never prayed. I want souls to be saved like they've never been saved before. I want saints to sell out. I want God to do it. And can God do it? Oh, but yes, He can. God can do it tonight. I'm believing God. I believe Him. He can do it. Listen, the Bible says this. I've already quoted, but Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able. We can stop right there and shout.
Yeah.
But don't stop there. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Some of y'all is just not picking it up. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Look, where does it come from? Highlight it. Mark it in your Bible. Ephesians 3:20. According to the power that worketh in us. We don't need nothing else but what we've got.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to help me tonight? Brother Chris, you don't need nothing else added to your resume to see what all God can do.
Amen.
Because it's the power that worketh
right
in you.
Yes,
Brother Josh, you need some more experience to be used more? Nope.
Amen.
Nope. Don't come through experience. This ain't a promotion at the job place.
Right.
It's a power.
Yeah. Amen.
Do I need more time on a pew before I can really make a difference in my family? Nope.
Amen.
Nope. You don't have to serve God for 5 years before you can be used.
Amen.
God will use you right now because the power of God that worketh in you is what's going to work that in others. I'm telling you that we can believe God because what we need we got when we got Him. The average pastor, the average Christian, the average church thinks something like this. Well, we've only got this, and so we're going to have to wait until so many other more people come. And then once we get some more people, we have some more prayers, we have some more labor, we have some more giving. Then God can do that. That's not how that works.
Amen.
Because that's not faith.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God said if you just have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. You know what's sad is most people don't.
Right.
Most people don't.
Right.
I pray for stuff. And God hears and answers our prayers. And I'm praying for stuff. And if y'all don't want to be involved, that's fine. God's going to do it. But let me say a word about this. Also from Brother Jonathan Hughes. It's like he's preaching tonight, ain't it? But he's given me a lot of good things this week, just talking. You know what he said? He said, Brother Josh, and I told him if he comes Wednesday and preaches, I like for him. If God will let him, I want him to preach on this. I ain't heard the message. But he said, the problem is a lot of people are content with being involved. You're involved. You show up. You're doing this. You're helping there. And that's where a lot of people stop. He said, but God's not just looking for involvement. God's looking for investment.
Amen.
Can I say this is something worth investing in?
Yes,
did you know you could die tomorrow and all the retirement money that you've paid back ain't going to do you a lick of good?
Right.
But this investment never goes away.
Amen.
If you die tomorrow, if you've invested all today and you die tomorrow, you didn't go out with nothing, you're going to get rewarded for it on the other side. I don't believe all of our investments we always get to see or recognize the blessing here, but you better know we'll know about the blessing over there.
Amen.
I just don't want to be involved with the work of God. I want to be invested.
Yeah. Right.
And I am. Yeah. I've given up a lot to do this. He said, oh, you got the best job in the world. You're on vacation every week of your life. All you do is stand up and preach three times a week. Follow me around. Follow me around. Go with me. Just take my heart for a month and then come talk to me. Just take my heart. I ain't going to give you my task. I ain't going to give you my phone calls. I'm not going to give you my prayers. I'm not going to give you this one's upset or that one's sick or this one's mad or that one's leaving the church or this one's coming to the church or God in the midst of all that. What do I need to feed these people? Just cancel all that. Just carry my burden for a month and then come tell me how easy I got it. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I'm invested. My family's invested and they didn't have a choice in the matter. They followed me into this investment. Do you know my wife and children could have a better life materially? Yeah. I could turn in my resignation. I could go get me a job maybe at the railroad or somewhere that pays pretty real good money. And I could save up and we could have our hopes and dreams probably within a year or two if I'd give this up. You don't think I fought that in my mind? You don't think I look at my children and say, my God, they ain't even got room to turn around in this little double. I mean, it's called a double wide, but it's a short, fat double wide. We ain't got no room. You know what my wife wants more than anything? A home. She deserves a home. Not one that we have to rent and everything tears up on and they won't halfway fix it. And I take that personal. I want to give her the best. But you know what God's told me when I mention that to him? You are giving her the best.
Amen. Yeah.
She has the best. Right now, because she's living a life with a husband that's fully invested.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him because I remember when he came by and scared me to death when he birthed this church in my heart. But when I came over, I told God, I told him before church, I said, God, I remember coming over in the midnight hour. I'd lay on the front porch of them steps over there when I knew everybody's asleep, nobody'd see me. I'd come lay on my face and say, oh God, if this is where you want to have a church, you don't have to make it possible. It didn't have but 10 people. We couldn't bought this place, but God did the impossible. I'm doing the same now for properties and with visions God's given me. I said, oh God, just like you heard my prayer on them steps, I want you to hear my prayer in this field. And God, I know that you can do it. You've done it before, and honey, he can do it again. I'm telling you, God's able. Hallelujah, God's able. I'm telling you, God's able. Hallelujah, he's able. And to do exceeding and abundant above all we could ever ask or think tonight. He's able. I'm invested. I'm going to reap from my investment. And if you'll invest, you'll reap from your investment. I just don't want to be involved. I want to be invested. God is able. I hope we can get these points because I got some good ones to give you. But I'm telling you, he's able. Knowing that God can and expecting that God will are two different things. You know that? There's a lot of people that know he's able, but they don't expect him to do what they know he's able to do. Some of you know God can do that thing you want done, but you're just not expecting it.
Good.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to make it to where God shows up and said, and he could there do no mighty work. Please don't misunderstand me. I know that there's seasons and times of doubt. I'm not talking about when we sometimes stumble. I'm talking about some people has just accepted that God's not going to do it.
Right.
And if that's the way you're living, can I tell you something? He won't.
Amen.
He don't force himself on you. Can we hold our finger here? I want to put my hanky right here. I want us to go look at something in Isaiah chapter 1. And look at verse 19. I'm telling you, oh, he's able. I wish some of y'all could leave here with a whole heart full that God can.
Yeah.
Isaiah 1, look at verse 19. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Can we read that again? If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. I know people, if something don't change, oh, if something don't give, he's able. But you've got to be willing and obedient. Notice, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Y'all hearing me? What would ever make somebody refuse and rebel? Did you know rebellion literally is this? It is the refusal of God's blessing. It's what rebellion is. Some of you, God has greater things than you can even ask or think, according to what we read. But you're going to refuse Him and rebel against Him. And instead of living up, my friend, in eating of the good of the land, you're going to be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has said it. Can God? God can. Problem's not with God. We just read it. The problem is this, when you refuse, if you be willing. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it is point number one, so we'll just maybe head on down there. The first step, what we just read, is if you be willing in Isaiah 1:19. And so I want to give you some reasons. First of all, tonight, the Lord's going to move us on in these points. When the one who can came, it's because, number one, you're unwilling. That's point number one. When the one who can came, it is because you are unwilling. Go back to Mark 6 and look at verse 2. The Bible said, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? This astonishment is not like, wow, we're so impressed. This astonishment is like, wow, we don't believe it, but we don't know how he's getting these things. We don't know where he gets all these mighty words, and where he gets these mighty works, and where he gets these mighty this mighty wisdom. They know Jesus. This is his hometown. They've known for 30 years that Jesus professes to be the Son of God. They know for 30 years Mary was espoused to Joseph and was conceived by the Holy Ghost. That's been the story for 30 years. They know that even as a boy, Jesus was very peculiar. There was nobody quite like him. At 12 years old, they knew. They heard stories. Some of them may have been there when he's sitting in the temple when Mary and Joseph went down to do their yearly deeds, their religious sacrifice. We know that they left him and they went a day and a half journey. Had to go back and get him, and he was busy about the Father's business. They know there's always been something they could not put their thumb on, but they were not willing to accept that Jesus said was who he said he was. The first step, the reason people miss out on the one who can, when the one who can came, is because they're unwilling. You know why some people this evening will die by the sword instead of eating in the land of good? Because those first few words in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing. Listen to me, you got to be willing to let God do what He wants. You're never going to see mighty acts and mighty works from God in your life if you're not willing.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing that God has all these things in store? That God wants to bless. Again, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you, if you'll live your life not centered around your way of living, but your way of giving. I didn't get no amens right there. I was waiting. If you live your life not centered around your way of living, but your way of giving, you'll eat from the fruit of the good land. Do you know why most people will die by the sword? You know why most people stay poor in church? I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be hard. They'll die in poverty because they never got to the place where their way of life was not their way of living. It was their way of giving. When you really take on the nature of God, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this. You know why I had to preach on it so much? Because we struggle with it. That's exactly why. And it's done in the holy... I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do tonight. I'm not running rabbits and picking out what God gives me. He gives it to me. And here's what I know. You cannot live in the good land and eat of the good fruit when you're satisfied with providing your own. You got to get to a place where you say, all right, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. And God, you're going to be the one to take care of me. That's how I live. You sit and calculate my finances, it don't make no sense. We ain't rich by any means. We're not even close. But we're taken care of. If you were to sit and balance my monthly budget, we ought to be in the hole every week, every month, every year, every decade. We should never be in the green. But somehow, some way. You know what I found out? If I just do what I'm supposed to and then do what I don't want to do, He does what I can't believe. Most people will never realize that God can. They'll always live in that place where God can't because they're unwilling. In verse 2, we find these people simply will not let Jesus in. They're familiar with Him. They've always been around Him. He's always been in their world. Well, listen to me. They would not give Him a chance. They're still, after 30 years, they're saying, I don't know how He got this smart. He's told them, I'm the Son of God. But you know what? They were not willing to believe it. He's told them that I don't speak the things that I want to speak, but I'm speaking the words of my Heavenly Father which has sent me. And He's told them, but they're not willing to believe. Some of you are praying prayers and you ain't even believing God can do it. And that's why He's not. That stung, didn't it? You're praying things, but you don't even believe God for them. That's why your God can't. It's not because He can't, but because of you, He can't. This is actually the second time that Jesus has returned to Nazareth since His public ministry. The first time is in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 24. We'll not read it for sake of time. But Luke 16, verse 20, verse 22 said this, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? See, they never will refer to him as the son of God in Nazareth. Here they call him Mary's son. The other says Joseph's son. They know good well he's not Joseph's son. Verse 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard in the Capernaum, do also in thy country. Verse 24, and he said, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, listen to what's said. This is his first time returned to Nazareth. This is the second time in Mark 6. The first time is Luke 4. Luke 4, 28 said, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. You can read it when you go home. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. The first time he goes to Nazareth, in Luke chapter 4, they won't accept him. They're unwilling. The first time he goes, guess what they do? They run him out of town to the brow of the hill, and they want to cast him off the brow of the hill where the city was built there on. Luke chapter 4, verse 28, 29, 30. They want to throw him off the hill to kill him. You know what the Bible also says? This is what the Lord showed me in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through verse number 30. You know what you'll find? I just read it. I don't remember exactly what verse it is, but we just read it. When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Here's what happens to people. Listen to me very carefully right here. Here's what happens to people that won't believe God. These people were so unwilling to listen and believe what He had to say, they were overcome with wrath. And they ran Jesus out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill where they wanted to throw him off and kill him. Listen, right here's the key. When your unwillingness to allow God to do a mighty work reaches a certain point, your unwillingness will eventually turn to wrath. Can I say tonight, maybe you'll understand it like this. Some people are mad at God tonight simply because He wants to do a mighty work in their life, but they're not willing to let Him. They're mad at God. Because He wants to do, y'all ain't listening, it's really affecting me. He wants to do a mighty work but they're not willing to let him. So you know what happens through unwillingness? They get full of wrath. I prayed for 20 years for God to send my husband back or my children back or to take this away. But the whole time they were praying, they didn't think God could do it. Therefore, he was hindered. And the God that can all of a sudden can't. And they get mad at God for something that's not his fault, it's theirs.
Amen.
There's people going, I'm going to tell you what happens. For people that are unwilling, eventually they become angry with God.
Amen.
And it ain't his fault. They try to run him out of town and kill him. They get filled full of wrath because they're unwilling. They're unwilling.
Amen.
We find another example. And I quoted it this morning in Psalm 78, verse 41. I said 4, but it's verse 41. The Bible said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. What should have taken 11 days turned out to be 40 years according to Deuteronomy 1:2. And so it was not because God couldn't, because God can. But they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit the Holy One of Israel? They refused to listen and they rebelled. What did we just read in Isaiah 1:19? Let me go back. Isaiah 1:19 said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So you've got two options. You can be willing and obey, or you can refuse and rebel. That determines if you end up in the mighty work of God or if you end up with wrath in your heart towards God. This is kind of stuff that will help you if you're listening. When the one who can can't. It's because you're unwilling. Number two, when the one who can can't, it's because you're unwelcoming.
Yeah.
Look at verse 3 of Mark 6. My introductions always get me in trouble. I run out of time. Mark 6 verse 3, the Bible said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. You know what Jesus said? I'm at home. Again, at 2 years old, this is where Mary and Joseph went. This is where Jesus is raised. He's raised in Nazareth. But among his own kin, among his own family, among his own friends, among his acquaintances, in his hometown. You know what he is? Unwelcomed. They don't want nothing to do with him. Can I say, despite these people knowing him, his family, they quote, they say in verse 3, it's not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and or not his sister here with us, and they were offended at him. If anybody, I want you to think about this, if anybody should have celebrated Jesus, it should have been the people of Nazareth.
Amen.
In Mark 5, he casts out devils. In Mark 5, he cleanses and cures the disease. In Mark 5, he conquers death. When he returns to Nazareth in Mark 6, they should have had a parade downtown. The mayor should have got up, welcomed him before everybody, gave him a key to the city. They should have a statue of Jesus on the courthouse square. I mean, his name, when you go into town on the sign, it should say Nazareth, home of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. When he walks into town, they become offended.
Yeah.
You know why some of you have never seen God do the mighty work? Because you've got time for everything and everybody but Jesus. Well, we would be there, but you know, the kids, by the time we got out of school, they got soccer practice, and I've got to work the next day, and by the time I got home, I had laundry to do, and time and that, the cat needed fed, and once we fed the cat, I got a text from her husband that said he was real hungry, so I tried to throw a little supper together, and if it ain't that, then it's this, if it ain't this, it's that, and listen, I want you to evaluate your life, and tell me how much time do you welcome Jesus into your life? You sit back and wonder why there's no mighty works for you. And you get mad. And you look across the sanctuary of your neighbor and God's blessing them. But here's the difference. They may be more invested than they are involved.
Amen.
And all you are is involved. You've not invested. And when Jesus tries to come, and tries to speak and tries to minister and tries to grow you. I mean, if you can't even find time to come to church, don't sit and feed me a bunch of hogwash that you're having intimate time with Jesus in your personal life. You're a liar.
Amen. Amen.
You tell on yourself. People that can't even be faithful to do the things that are in open, sure ain't being faithful to do things in secret.
Nope. Yeah.
And it's no wonder you're living in the minimal blessing of God when He wants you to have the maximum blessing. It's no wonder that the works are, there's a work here and there's a work there, but there's no real fruit, no evidence of mighty works in your life, because every time Jesus shows up, you've got somebody else you need to talk to.
Yeah.
You've got somebody else. You've got some other place you need to go. Church is not first priority. You know what that tells me? God is not first priority.
Amen. Right, man.
People don't like this, but it's the truth. When I have to text and cry and prod and check and coax and offer money and offer this and offer that and do this and go there and high five this one and write a letter of recommendation for that one and prod you and poke you like a bunch of stubborn cattle to get you to come eat, it's because He's not welcome in your life.
Right.
Yes, you're going to die with the minimum blessing. God wants you to have the maximum blessing, but the God who can't in your life because you're unwelcoming. You're unwilling. They should have celebrated Him. Instead, they criticized Him. Instead of being rejoiced by the people, He's rejected by them. Instead of being welcomed, He felt their withdrawal. Instead of being celebrated, he was cussed. There was no welcome. So I ask you this. When Jesus is in Nazareth, can He do at home what He's done in Mark 5?
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Seth. Is anybody listening? In Mark 6, when Jesus returns to Nazareth, can He do mighty works like He done in Mark 5? Sure He can, but He tells us here that He can't. It's not because He changed, but His circumstances, His environment, and the willingness and the welcoming of the people shifted. I'll tell you how welcome He was in that little woman with the issue of blood. You know how welcome He was in her life? She crawled through and under and over top of people just to touch the hem. Does everybody know what a hem is? I probably got a loose string somewhere on a suit. It's a hem. I can't believe I can't find one. They're usually just falling out everywhere. That's a hem. But there's one. Cody, I found one. That's what she touched.
Talk.
Some of y'all thinking you got a bear hug Jesus? He ain't looking at that. Some of y'all can't even see this him. That's what it does. Touch that. He stopped. Who touched me? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Touch that. He's hot. Who touched me? I said, Lord. What do you mean? Who? The better question is, who didn't touch you?
Right.
He said, oh, no. Deadly, I feel the Lord. Holy man. That's what He's looking for.
It does.
Touch it. That's all it was. Just a loose fragment, Brother Seth. Don't be so concerned with just having to get down and grab the horns of the altar right now. Here's what you need. That's all you need. Deke, you and Miss Megan and John and the other one that I can't ever say her name after 12 years, grab that. That's all she touched. He stopped everything. So boys, who touched me? I dare say she was trying to get him involved in her life. Brother Chris, that's all she got. Hallelujah. Just a hymn. It's gone. It's all she got a hold of. That's it. And he stopped. He said, who touched me? He said, Lord, everybody. He said, oh no. Whoever touched the hem of my garment, virtue lift. You don't know why? She's craving Him.
Amen.
She's welcoming him. Some of y'all are trying to figure out how you're going to turn everything upside down. All you need to figure out is how to get a hold of him.
Amen.
If you'll get a hold of a him, a him, you'll get a hold of him. Somebody will help me. If you'll just get a hold of a him, you'll get a hold of him. And God can. God can. God can. And he can do it. God can. You're trying to grab a hold of the foot. He don't want you to grab a hold of the foot. Just grab a him and you'll grab him.
Yeah. Right.
And he said this. He said, who touched me? He's welcome. You want to lie? People miss out on those mighty words. He's not welcome in their life.
Yeah.
But if you'll get this desperate, if you'll get that desperate, I wish somebody would hear me. If you'll get this desperate.
Yeah.
God help, I ain't going to get past it because I just can't. If you'll just get this desperate. There's another point, but I ain't going to get there. If you'll just get this desperate.
Amen.
Anybody's house somewhere with her name all over it. We never will have the money to get it. That's all we got to do. That's it.
That's right.
It's all we got to do. Hey, baby. I know you don't understand. But mom and daddy's just trying to touch the hem. That's all we're doing, baby. And if we'll just touch the hem,
amen.
Touch him.
Amen.
It's negative. If you just get so desperate that that's enough. That's enough. If you get that desperate that you'll touch a hem, you'll touch him.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all she got a hold of was the hem. Of his God. You know what she found out? God can.
Amen. That's right.
I'm telling you, desperate she was. She pulled her pocketbook out. There was nothing left. She spent everything she could spend to get healed.
Yeah.
All the money. This ain't worth nothing. A penny would be overcharging for that. If somebody in here give me a penny for that hem, it would be far too much. That's not even worth a penny. But to him, see, it wasn't the value of what she could give. It's what she desired.
Right.
And she worked so hard, and the crowd was fighting her so much. It was so difficult. But when she just barely, the Bible said she grabbed it. The Bible said she touched it. He stopped and said, who touched me? See, we think we got to reach this big spiritual high in our life to get the attention of God. Hey, girls, ain't none of y'all exempt. Everybody here has the power to get there.
Yeah.
You know, the youngest child in the building can get here.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they got to be walking hand in hand with Jesus. Oh, you're missing the point. Thaddeus, that's what we're after, son. You don't understand it right now. But maybe one of these days, well, this message will come back up in your life. Maybe you'll be 15 or 16. And the things that Daddy's preaching about tonight that we don't have, we're going to have. By the grace of God, because me and your mama, he's going to keep reaching just to touch the hem. That's all you got to have, Miss Christine. That's it. That's it. Feel that. Feel that. Insignificant. But that's all she touched, Brother Sean. Just a little hymn. Lexi, you know how you're going to get that $200? You need to chase the hymn. When you touch this hymn, you touch him.
Yeah, right. Amen.
I want him to be welcome in my life. I want him to be so welcome that on days I feel like I can't even go any further.
Yeah.
He says, well, he must want me. He's tried so hard to get me, he couldn't even touch me, but he touched the hem of my garment. And if you'll just get close enough to touch the hem, you'll touch him and he'll stop everything for you. You know what you'll say? I'm trying to get over the hump right here, but it feels so good. You know what he'll stop when he says? He says, who touched me? And he healed her. You know what she went away saying? From that day forward, we're still talking about it. 2,000 years later, you know what she had to say? God can.
Yeah. Amen.
God said, God can.
That's
right. I mean, I was waiting on the whole world to turn, you know, the sky to turn red and the angels to write a message in the clouds. This is all you need.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's it. Just touch the hand. You wonder why people reach the place where the one who can came? Their unwillingness, they're unwilling, they're unwelcoming. I want you to look down in verse 5. The Bible said he could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Notice this in verse 6. And he marveled. I'm not a very deep, studious man. I don't claim to be. But when I read that, it jumped off the page. Jesus marveled.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal, I think.
Yeah.
We're talking about the man who spoke everything into existence and he marveled at something. What did he marvel at? He marveled because of their unbelief. He's amazed by their unbelief. I would imagine it had something to do with they've seen me from the age of 2 years old to the age of 30. Do everything I said I would do. Be everything I said I would be. Go everywhere I said I would go. Think everything I said I would think. And they don't believe. You know what I think happens? And I'm going to give you verses for it here in just a moment. The Bible said in verse 3 that they were offended at God, but here I think that the Son of God may be a little offended at them. He marveled. When I read that, Dad, it jumped off the page. Jesus marveled, so I, blue letter Bible, word searched, marveled. Did you know only 2 times in all of the Bible does Jesus marvel? The word marveled is there multiple times, but only twice does the Lord Jesus marvel. And here's when they are. The first, since we're just taking our time tonight, hold your place there and let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter number 8, and I want to begin reading in verse 1. Just bear with me a few more moments. Maybe 15 minutes I'll have this whole thing done. I usually stop, but I just felt like I need to go and finish it.
Yeah.
And chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said, and when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, canst thou make me clean? And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately the leper was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and my servant do this, and he doeth it. Now notice this. This centurion has told him, Lord, I've got a man at home sick of the palsy, and I don't feel worthy for you to come to my house. So if you'd just speak it now that he be healed, I believe that he would be. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." So that's the first time we find Jesus marvels. The second time we find Jesus marveled is in Mark chapter 6. And then so in Matthew chapter number 8, may I say, it appears to me that faith and believing must be an awful big deal to God. Because it's the only 2 times in Scripture that he marvels. Number one, he marvels when a man lives by faith. In Matthew chapter 8. That centurion believed God so much, he said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house where he's at. Just speak it. Yeah. And I believe. And the Bible said Jesus marveled and said, there's not no greater faith in all of Israel. But then the second time Jesus marveled, it's not because somebody lived by faith, it's because somebody lacked faith.
Right.
He marveled at their unbelief. May I say that God wants to do great and mighty works in your life. But He can't do it. The one who can't when you're unwilling, when you're unwelcoming, and when you're unbelieving.
Good.
Did you know you can amaze God by living by faith? You know what happened according to what I just read, or I believe what happened tonight when I was back in that field and I was thanking God for things He's not done? I think He's marveled by that.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what else He's marveled by. When that bill comes and the money's not there and I start fretting,
yeah,
and I start fearing, He shakes His head. He's marveling. He marvels when we live by faith, but He marvels when we lack faith.
Sure.
You don't know why God has not done the great and mighty works of Samuel's life? Simply because you're unbelieving.
Yes, sir.
If all it took, my God, I need to preach this somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because this will help people.
Amen.
If all that woman had was faith to touch that, what's our excuse? There was no Holy Ghost living in her. There was no Calvary. There was no singing, "I know my name is there." Only thing she knew about Jesus is what she heard. I know things about Him because they're inside of me.
Yes,
you know what I believe? I believe there's a whole bunch of people that's not ever going to see the mighty works simply because they are not willing to live by faith. And because they won't live by faith, they lack faith. And because they lack faith, God stands in awe because, again, can God? He's done more than enough.
Pray.
This is what we're after tonight. I didn't plan on none of this, by the way, either. This, none of this right here is in my notes, but it's Holy Ghost notes.
Thank you, Lord.
It's what we need.
Yeah.
Wesley, one day, God's going to call your number, son. See, you say that like you know it. I do.
Yeah.
I believe. Thank God. Miss Lee, I don't know who wrote that husband at. I don't know. This is what you need to focus on. That's it. That's all you need. Go do the rest. I'm enjoying my own preaching, boys, it's dangerous. I made men of myself because I'm enjoying it. That's all we need. That's it. That's faith.
Amen.
That ain't a mustard seed, but it's pretty close. It's little. It's insignificant. Do you believe? Brother Seth, you're going through some things, man. But here's my question. Has He not done enough for you to at least pursue that? If you'll pursue that, God will marvel. And say, look, I'm amazed. I'm in awe because He's living by faith. Or you can shut all the doors, hinder Him, live under the wrath and the sword and lack faith. Either way, you're going to amaze God. I'd rather amaze Him because I live by faith, not because I lack.
Amen.
And so tonight, I want you to remember this for the rest of your life. You can reach a place in your life where the one who can't. And here's how you'll do it. You'll do it when you're unwilling. You'll do it when you're unwelcoming. And you'll do it when you're unbelieving. But if you'll be willing, you'll be welcoming, and you'll have a heart full of belief, and you'll be believing, God can.
Amen.
There's people sitting all over this building tonight, and you need God to do something.
Yeah.
I'll go as far to say for some, it may be a little bigger than others. I think the situation with my parents is pretty big. Some of y'all, you may not need God to rescue a prodigal. Maybe all you need is a little extra income. Or maybe all you need is some peace of mind about something. Maybe all you need is some assurance.
Right.
It's going to be okay. Here's the thing about God. He ain't like He prioritizes my mom and daddy's need over your need.
Right.
To me, it's bigger. It's personal. But to God, He's looking. That's what He's looking for. Somebody's reaching out.
So can God?
Let's
all stand. Father, we love you.
Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray tonight that you have spoken to somebody's heart. We know that you can. And I pray that you will. God, I ask you tonight, Lord, to do a work in somebody's heart that will change their life, not just tonight, but for forever. We'll pursue you in all that we do because you can. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's come tonight.